Joshua chapter 1. You know, the title of my message tonight is, What Keeps You Going When Things Get You Down? I found out one of the easiest things to keep you going when things get you down is just not watch the news, right? The more I watch the news, the more angry I get, and the more disgusted I get, and the more frustrated I get. But tonight I want to talk about a soldier in the Bible. There are many soldiers in the Bible, but the one I would like to talk about tonight is Joshua. What kept Joshua going? Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at tonight, and let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this ancient book that we have in our hands tonight, written some of 3,000 years ago, that's so relevant and apropos to today. You've given us a priceless gift, and we pray that the Spirit who never grows old will always be teaching us something new. And Father, we look for that tonight. Bless your word as it goes forth, for I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's not an easy thing to be a successor to a great man. In ministerial circles, we have a term we call the sacrificial lamb. And what is meant by that is when a great man of God passes away and leaves a work, the person who comes in after him usually doesn't make it. We call him the sacrificial lamb. And no matter how good he is, no matter how challenging he is, usually he doesn't make it because the people in the church or in the ministry, they always think about how the former pastor would have done it or how the founder of the ministry would have done it. And it's hard for a new man to come in. So here's Joshua, a new leader trained by Moses. He had been Moses' assistant and with a new generation, with facing new challenges, and it wasn't easy. Over that river Jordan, there were 31 kings that he had to conquer. There were cities he had to conquer. There were land he had to take. There were challenges. And so, what was it that carried him through? Well, I think the answer to that question is, he believed the promise of God. He believed the promise of God. In Joshua chapter 1, we have this promise, and the words we've already rested upon. Verse 7 says, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And verse 8 says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Kind of a strange place to carry your Bible, isn't it? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, the Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter. If you go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you see these men standing there with their faces to the wall, swaying back and forth, muttering. They're reading scriptures out loud. And this book was written, folks, to be heard. And I pray that the Lord, that we don't just see ink on a page when we look at these words, okay? But that we want to hear the voice of God. When I read A.W. Tozer's books, I hear his voice. When I hear Harry Ironside's books, I hear his voice. And I want to hear the voice of God when I read the Bible, right? Now, along with Joshua 1:8, there's an interesting statement in Joshua 21:45. It says this. These are wonderful promises. Listen to this now. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Now look at in chapter 22, you turn to the next page, it says this. Joshua, this is Joshua's great farewell address. And by the way, I challenge you to study the farewell addresses of the Bible. There's interesting. Here's one of them. Chapter 23, verse 14 says, this is Joshua speaking. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. What does that mean? Is he going to die? And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one good thing hath failed of all of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? 3,000 years later, that's still true. Still true today. And so the one thing that impressed Joshua was the fact that God's promises could be trusted. And Joshua succeeded because he believed the promises of God. Now, Joshua chapter 1 explains why it is important to believe the promises of God. I don't know what you look at when you look at your Bibles, but some people look at the Bible and all they see are precepts. All they see are laws. You can't do this, you can't do that, right? And they have a negative attitude toward the Christian life. And when I look at my Bible, I consider it to be exactly what God says it is. It's the word of promise. This is the word of his promises. You know, whenever God says no to something, it's because he has something better for us, okay? A temptation is just the devil's offer of something God wants to do better for us. And so this is his word of promise. When I was a little kid, we used to sing a song, "Every promise in the book is mine." You heard it? "Every chapter, every verse, every line, all the tokens of his love divine, every promise in the book is mine." Guess what, folks? It's still true. Still true today. Now, when we believe the promises of God and act upon those promises, not just say we believe them, but act upon them, this is what will deliver us from the dangers that lurk in the Christian life. And tonight, I want to talk about five dangers that people who want to serve the Lord are susceptible to. And I love to speak to a Wednesday night crowd because I know you're people who are concerned about the Christian life, living the Christian life, and obeying God and reading his word. And it might not be that true of a lot of people on Sunday morning. But this is a message that I wouldn't bring on Sunday morning probably, but I'm glad to be able to do it tonight. Now, these five dangers, I've had to face them, so will you, and they're dealt with here in chapter 1 of Joshua. Verse 1 says, look at it. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of God, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I shall give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now the first danger is, number one is, there's the danger of looking back. And when a great person dies, guess what we usually do? We look back. You know, we look at their life. We see what they've accomplished. They see what they did. And among some people, you'll hear something like this. "Oh, what's going to happen now? Moses is gone. You know, what are we going to do? Moses led us 40 years. Remember the good old days." You know what? The good old days are a mixture of bad memory and a good imagination. Think about that. And the children of Israel, many of them forgot all the fits that they gave Moses during his life, right? Wow. They complained, they rebelled, they questioned his authority. And now Moses is dead, and there's a tendency for people to say when a great leader dies, that's the end, it's over with. Just this week, the man who helped start the Awana Club program, Art Rohrheim, passed away, 99 years of age. And so I'm sure a lot of people are going to look back and say now, well, it's all over with. Now, what's going to happen now? Who's going to take his place? What's going to happen? And we all question those things. But you know what? Interesting enough, Moses wasn't saying anything here because guess what? God was saying it all. God was still alive. God was still at work. I think it was John Wesley who first said this, made the statement that God buries his workmen, but he continues his work. Okay, and how true that is. And over these years, I've watched great leaders that have gone on to glory. And guess what? Church is still here. Okay, God's still working. God's still doing his work. And how many times I've heard people say, old people like me, all the great leaders of the past are gone. Who's going to take their place? And they really don't see anybody on the horizon to take their place. Well, guess what? God's still here. And God can still work. And his promises are still here, right? And his promises are still true. And you and I have to be careful about the danger of looking back. Now, the Jewish people were good at that. You know, they had no sooner left Egypt when they looked back hungry, thirsty, at Kadesh Barnea, remember that story? And a committee went in to investigate the land. to find out just if it was just like the Lord had said it was going to be. And so I'm glad the Lord doesn't begin with, in the beginning, there was a committee, you know. As you know, a committee is a group of people who individually can do nothing and collectively decide that nothing can be done. That's about what happens. And so this committee of 12 returned, as you know, and when the 10 of them said, it's exactly the way God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. That's surprising, isn't it? It's just the way God said. But we'll never make it. I mean, we're just like grasshoppers in their eyes. I mean, the city is great cities with big walls around. There's no way we can defeat those cities. And they said, let's appoint us a new captain and go back to Egypt. Can you imagine that? That's what they were ready to do. And so now I want to say carefully, every Christian and church, I believe, comes to a Kadesh Barnea in their history. And we're either going to cross the river and claim our inheritance, or we're going to wander. Now, it's not always true, but it's frequently true, folks, that younger people and older people don't agree. Is that fair to say? And in many churches, there's a cleavage today. And the older people, you know what we need to do? I speak as one of them, okay? We need to go through the Word of God and list all the verses that say what we should do for the younger generation. What does the Bible say about our children? What we should do with our children, our grandchildren? We have a responsibility to them. It reminds me of the situation in Ezra chapter 3. You're very familiar with that story when we talk about it. It says the children of Israel had gone back to the land after 70 years of captivity, and they had laid the foundation for the temple. And this is what happened. Listen now, Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And they sang together by the course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Wonderful, isn't it? But listen to verse 12. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, what does that mean? They were old men, okay. What happened? That had seen the first house, which was Solomon's house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. Can you imagine that? All the young people are shouting and praising God, and all the old men are crying. Basically what it was, okay? And so these young men were thankful that the foundation of the temple was laid. They were going to have a temple. They were going to be able to worship. And the old men, all they could think about was, wow, it's nothing like Solomon's temple. Now, there's some things to weep about. And one of the difficult things about getting older, and you realize that the people who have the most birthdays live the longest, right? I have people say, I don't want to have any more birthdays. Well, I tell you, that's a bad situation. I hope I have plenty more. But there are some things you miss. And that doesn't mean God isn't at work. Sometimes it's very easy to be contemporary if you're not faithful, someone has said. And it's easy to be faithful if you're not contemporary. And so, but the idea is to blend the two together. Most of you here, if you're old as I am, or not quite that old maybe, remember Youth for Christ years ago. Youth for Christ had their motto was, geared to the times, anchored to the rock. Okay? That's the way it should be, right? Geared to the times, but anchored to the rock. The dangerous thinking was not like the good old days. There was a man that got saved under Billy Sunday ministry, and he lived to be 94 years old, and he was asked one day, what were they talking about in the good old days? And he said, they were talking about the good old days. And that's true, isn't it? And so the danger of looking back. Now, having said all of that, we don't ignore the past. Moses is mentioned 57 times in the book of Joshua. They didn't forget about him. We don't ignore the past, But the past is not our anchor, an anchor to hold us back. And so the past should be a rudder to guide us. And Joshua needed what Moses said. Joshua needed to remember what Moses did. And it's good to read biographies and autobiographies and to learn from men of the past. We need to read about the past, but we don't neglect the past or forget the past. But there's a real danger in looking back and dwelling on the past. Oswald Chambers said in his book, Spiritual Leadership, he says, a work originated by God and conducted on spiritual principles will surmount the shock of a change of leadership and indeed probably thrive better as a result. And I've seen that happen, folks. Works that were supposed to die are thriving. Some works that were supposed to thrive are dead. Okay? And so the first thing God says here to Joshua is, folks, Moses is dead, and something new is about to happen. All it takes, the promise of God says, to look forward, to look ahead. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to claim my promises. The danger of looking back. The second danger is found in verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1. It says this, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea going toward the down, going sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. The second danger we see here is the danger of standing still. The danger of standing still. Moses, my servant, is dead. The Lord tells Joshua, now what? Get moving. Get going. Lift up your feet and walk. Every place you tread upon is going to be yours. And so God said that to Abraham, and he had said it to Moses. You know, God gives each of us a ministry, an inheritance. And God has a ministry for us. And we're not to do everything. We can't do everything. But there are others serving besides us, and we are great. Are we grateful for them? And we should pray for them. But we should keep doing our work. And the Lord says, now, don't stand still. Don't look back. Get moving. Get going. Because I'm going to open the way for you. I'm going to give you what you're supposed to have. Just follow me. And so there's a danger of standing still. And no ministry can afford to stand still. You can't embalm a ministry. Our God is a living God, right? And the Word of God is a living Word. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And where there's life, there should be growth. There should be movement. And watch out for the danger of standing still. You know, that could be a temptation for us as a church. If you've been here for a long time, in Center Street, when we moved into that old building, we did a lot of work on it. The Lord blessed, and people, the congregation grew. We built a new auditorium there. We outgrew that. We bought the property out here. That was a project. Built this building. We built the Sunday school buildings. And now we built the gymnasium, and we're finished, right? We can sit down and stand still, right? No, folks. That's not it at all. Most of you know that I enjoy old cars, and I saw an ad for a car, old-time ad, a 1903 Oldsmobile. It'd be nice to own one today. They're worth a lot of money. But you know what? The ad says, look at this, the ad says. It says, take a good look at this picture because it's not going to change. Can you imagine that? They thought they had built the ultimate automobile, 1903. You should look at that picture. That car is about as crude as you can get. There's no safety features. There's nothing on it. There's no comforts whatsoever. And yet they thought this was the ultimate car. And so God forbid that anyone should look at our church and say, what? This is the ultimate. We've arrived, right? Nothing else we can do. And that's the danger of standing still. Now, there's a third danger in Joshua chapter 1, and this is the danger of looking back, the danger of standing still, and then number three is the danger of giving up. Verse 5 says this, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Can you imagine getting a promise like that from God? Wow. How did Joshua keep going? He believed that promise. He believed it. What a promise. You know, it's one thing to step out by faith. It's one thing to walk by faith. We claim territory by faith. But Joshua, wherever you walk, God says, claim it. That was the original name it and claim it, right? Only God gave him that promise, okay? But you see, after you walk, after we walk, we have to stand. Let me see. You know, Joshua never read the book of Ephesians, but that's what this is all about. Ephesians 1 through 3 talks about us being what? Seated in the heavenlies. It talks about our riches in Christ. And now, because we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ, we walk with Christ. Walk in love, it says. Walk circumspectly. Walk in the Spirit. So we sit and we walk. In chapter 6, though, the devil says, I don't like these people that are sitting and walking. They're moving into my territory. So God says what? Stand. Stand in the power of God. Stand with the armor of God, but to stand. And God says, Joshua, you're going to have to face the enemy. There's 31 kings across this Jordan River you're going to have to face, and you're going to have to fight. And you've got to be able to stand. You know, there are times for us to walk and claim territory, and there's times for us to stand. A wise is the leader that knows the difference. You know, some people are good at walking, and they don't want to stand, so they just lose everything they gain. The devil just comes in and takes it. But some are very good at standing, but they don't like to walk by faith and claim new territory. But it's a balance between the two. It's not just one or the other. Now, when you have the promises of God, you don't have to look back, because promises always look ahead, okay? And so when you have the promises of God, you can stand against the enemy. There's the danger of giving up. And that's what the first bunch did when they came to the Jordan River. They gave up. They saw the giants. They saw the walls. They looked at themselves. They saw grasshoppers. If only they had looked up and said, our God is a great God. We can trust his promises. Joshua succeeded because he believed the promises of God and was able to stand. Now the fourth danger is found in verse 6. It says this, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Remember, the book of Joshua has three parts to it. They're entering into the land, they're conquering the land, and then claiming the land for an inheritance. We walk into a city, we say, God, give us that city. We claim the land. And then we have to parcel out the inheritance. Who's going to get it? You know, the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, and he runs into opposition. And like any human being says, well, maybe I should go somewhere else. But God comes and says, Paul, what do you say? I have much people in this city. That's interesting. Here Paul says, here in Corinth, I have an inheritance. I've got some territory, God tells Paul, for you to claim here. Don't run. Don't quit. Believe my promise and claim your inheritance. There's a danger of falling short of all that God wants us to have. Joshua didn't say, well, here we are on the banks of the Jordan River. Isn't that wonderful? We're through with the wilderness. We're through with all the wandering. Let's just stay here on the banks of the river. It's nice here, you know. It's peaceful. We got it made. We're close to our inheritance. If we cross that river, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to have to fight. We're going to get our feet wet crossing the river, maybe. So they cross the river and they say, isn't this wonderful? So now we're in the land, but they didn't stop there. They said, see that city? We're going to take that city. They marched and they conquered and they claimed their inheritance. And then when the battles were over, the high priest and Joshua and the representatives of each tribe cast lots to determine where the boundaries of the tribes were going to be. And some tribes didn't claim their inheritance. They wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. And they constantly had trouble. The danger of falling short. See, promises today don't say look back, except to say look. I gave this promise to Moses. I kept it. I gave this promise to Joshua. I kept it. God says, I gave this promise to David. I kept it. I'm going to give this promise to you. Guess what? I'll keep it. You can trust me to keep it. And there's a good way. That's the good way to look back. But promises say, get on the move. Here's something to claim. And there's the danger of falling short. Now we come to the last one, number five. Aren't you glad? This is the end. Number five is the danger of taking over. This is so important, folks. You got to get this one if you don't get the rest of them. Because here was verse 7, 8, 9 says of chapter 1. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. One of the great dangers in a church is after we captured our inheritance, and we've claimed what God has given to us, and there is prosperity, then we want to take over and do it our way. Okay? Now that's what we can learn from the past. It's good for every church member to remember its history. We have people that were here many years ago, and we have people that are fairly new members. But it's good to remember the history of a church, because there were people years ago that sacrificed, that prayed, that worked to make what we have today possible, right? And this is what God did, though. They didn't do it. God did it. But there's a danger when a church gets to a certain point that we want to take over. Joshua was a very capable leader, folks. But guess what? Twice in the book of Joshua, he took over, and there was disaster. Okay? After Ai, they conquered Jericho. Next battle up was Ai. And Joshua sends the committee to look at Ai. And they come back and say, Ai is just a bump in the road. We can take that easily. We don't need to send all the troops up there. We'll just send a few up there. Guess what? Joshua didn't ask God what his plan was. And Joshua took over. And what happened? They failed. Joshua chapter 5 tells us one of the most memorial events in Bible history, because they're about to have the Battle of Jericho, and Joshua does what any good commander does. The night before, he's out checking things out. Verse 13 says this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Pretty brave man, wasn't he? I like that attitude. He says, whose side are you on? Hard to tell today, folks, whose side a lot of people are on. He didn't say, on this big spectrum, where do you stand, you know? He says, either you're for us or you're against us. Just that simple. And so what did the angel of the Lord answer? He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, and now am I now come. It was the Lord Jesus himself. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now Joshua made some interesting discoveries that night. First of all, he discovered that he wasn't alone. Okay. Secondly, he discovered that he was second in command. You know, when I used to fly, I remember a missionary had a sign on the door of his airplane. God is my co-pilot. I never did like that. You know, God's the pilot. I'm the co-pilot, right? He also discovered that he had already won the battle. He'd already won the battle. Because in chapter 6, Joshua learns that the victory is his before the battle's even fought. And all Joshua had to do was learn the strategy. Now, God doesn't use the same strategy in every place. Sometimes we get mixed up with that. You know, God works this way, this place, and we expect him to work the same way every place. He doesn't do that. He's got a different strategy for a lot of different places. And that's the big mistake of looking back. And the danger of looking back, we've seen tonight, the danger of standing still, the danger of giving up, the danger of falling short, and the greatest danger of all is the danger of taking over. Now God says, you've got my word, you've got my presence, now follow my guide. I'll tell you what to do. And that's how Joshua kept going when things got him down. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your promises. I pray even tonight that as we're reminded of your promises, that we'll look forward, we'll move forward, we'll stand, we'll claim our inheritance. Your promises, O God, never fail. And what a wonderful truth that is that we can rest upon tonight. Just as they didn't fail to Joshua and the people of Israel, they won't fail for us either. Father, help us to be encouraged by this truth in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.